So coming here, that was one of the first things that I was looking for. And it's really important to be able to see and communicate with people who look like you.
What's most inspiring is that we have so many student organizations that are, you know, have events that are prepared, events that they want to do, and they're collaborating.
I feel very passionately about that. I can never repay all of those who helped me along my journey.
I then decided to participate in supplying or being a housing source. So I literally became a real estate investor and developer.
Welcome back to the Black History Month Spotlight on 90.3 WRST FM. I'm your host, Wendell Ray. The Black History Month Spotlight shines the light on African-American students, faculty, and staff, as well as alumni here at UWO. Today, we shine the spotlight on Dr. Belinda Pinkston, who's program coordinator for the McNair Scholars Program here at UWO. Dr. Pinkston, thanks so much for coming by and talking to us today. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for the invite, Dr. Ray.
So tell me, I know what the McNair Scholars Program is, but for the person out there listening, tell us what the McNair Scholars Program is.
The McNair Scholars Program is a federally funded program named in honor of and established to recognize students who are first generation, low income, and underrepresented. It's named for Dr. Ronald McNair, the astronaut that we lost in the Challenger incident. His brother, Carl, was a champion and picked up the mantle after we lost Dr. McNair and worked with the federal government to establish this program in his honor. Both Carl McNair and Dr. Ronald McNair would fit the criteria that was established in honor of the program. But of course, during their time, nor even during my time, did the program exist.
Well, okay. So let's talk more about the program in whose name it is honoring, and that is Ronald McNair. What can we say about him, and why did his brother think this type of program would be a good recognition of his life?
Dr. McNair was a first-generation college student who grew up in the South. One of the hallmark stories about him was the fact that he went to the library and wanted to check out a book. And because we're talking about the time of segregation, he was not allowed to check the book out. And his mom came in and said, you know, my son needs to have an opportunity to have this book. So after a bit of a brouhaha, they did allow him to check out the book. The library where he went to check out the book was subsequently named after him. Mm-hmm. He, again, during this time, had a dream of becoming a scientist. He had teachers along the way who, despite the climate of the country at that time, encouraged him to pursue his dreams even when he didn't necessarily see and believe all that he could be. He suffered and perhaps could be characterized as succumbing to imposter syndrome, as many students succumb to. Maybe I'm not good enough. I'm looking around. I'm not smart enough. I don't belong here. And just that self-doubt. But it only takes one person to ignite that spark. And there was one teacher who said, Ronald, you can do this. And he went on to obtain his degrees and went on to become an astronaut for NASA.
Now, what were his degrees? I know he eventually became a part of the shuttle crew that tragically exploded. But what was his academic pursuit?
His degrees were in science, and STEM isn't something, of course, that students of color are necessarily encouraged to go into, especially during that time. But again, he was a voracious reader. He had that spark of learning and acquiring knowledge. And based on his desire to achieve is why his brother, Carl, was so passionate about making sure that the ladder that Dr. McNair was able to climb wasn't pulled up so that others could not follow him, but that others were enabled to and empowered and provided the resources to continue along the path that he blazed.
Now, so we have this McNair Scholars Program at UWO. Does every campus have McNair Scholars Program?
That's a great question. There are 206 programs at colleges and universities across the country. So the University of Wisconsin at Oshkosh is very fortunate to have the program here because not all campuses have the program. So the program director, Ms. Cordelia Bolas, and I are very proud to have the program here at UWO.
Okay. And who are McNair Scholars and first generation college students, but what else can we say typifies, or what are the criteria, I guess, to become a McNair Scholar?
Again, the criteria is to be a first generation college student, to be a low income student, and to be from a marginalized or underrepresented student population. So our students come from...
All of those or any one of those?
Any one of those.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So our students come from a cross-section of backgrounds. Many of them come from the STEM fields. They are biology or chem majors. We have students who come from the nursing program, as well as students kind of at the other end of the spectrum who come from social science backgrounds. Okay. They are criminal justice majors, computer science majors. So our scholars run the gamut. Probably one of the commonalities that exist among them is a desire to pursue a degree beyond their undergraduate degree, and that's one of the things that the McNair Scholars Program promotes. We want students to look beyond obtaining an undergraduate degree. We want them to go on and continue their desire for learning at the graduate level by providing them with a summer research opportunity with a stipend.
Okay. All right, so that's one benefit. I was going to ask you, okay, so why would I want to become a McNair Scholar? What does the program provide to students? You just mentioned one thing, but what are some of the other things that you do for students who are McNair Scholars?
Because it is, Dr. Ray, not a program that's located on every campus, we provide our students with an opportunity to work with a professor who will serve as a mentor to help guide and narrow their research ventures. It's a very prestigious program. Some of the other benefits are it affords students an opportunity as they are applying for graduate programs as a McNair Scholar. Many graduate programs will waive the application fee. Those application fees can range anywhere from $75 to $100 each. And to have that obstacle or that challenge moved out of the way enables our students to perhaps apply to more institutions than they would if they were having to pay out of pocket for the applications.
That is... an important part. I can remember that being kind of a limiter for me in a number of applications I put out there. And so you had to be really sure that, okay, I got a good chance of getting into this school or that school. But now that that could be waived, that kind of opens things up. What can we say, though, about those students? Do you keep track of the ones who finish here at UWO and where they end up pursuing higher education elsewhere in terms of getting an advanced degree, or do you keep those kind of records?
Yes, we do. We follow our McNair Scholars, because once you are a McNair Scholar, you're always a McNair Scholar. We follow them for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And track them to see where they're going, how they're doing. And we also create a network between our current scholars and our alumni scholars. If we have two scholars who are in the same field and interested in the same research, we can connect them so that they can find out kind of what the journey looks like ahead from someone who has actually made that journey and has segued into a graduate program, who can share with them what life on that campus is like if they are looking at the same campus, what it's like to be a graduate student, what it's like to be a teacher assistant or to obtain a fellowship, because not only do we want our students to move on successfully to a graduate program, we want to help them seek the financial funding to be able to do that. So, for example, we have each scholar create a graduate school spreadsheet in which they, for example, put their top five schools. Mm-hmm. What is it going to cost to go to these schools? What kinds of packages or scholarships are available? If a scholar is looking to go out of state, there's a big difference in the cost of living here at Oshkosh in, say, New York, yeah, or California. So we want them to look at factors which they may not necessarily connect to going to grad school. What is the cost of living in that area? What is housing like? Are you going to live on campus? Are you going to get an apartment? So we want them to look at all of the metrics that they need to have on their radar and making the best choice for them.
What's the likelihood that they do go ahead and pursue an advanced degree?
Many of our students go right on into grad school. Some will take a gap year. Some want to work and gain experience in their chosen field. Many of our students who are social work majors may want to work in the field, get that hands-on working experience, get some money in the bank, that little cushion financially, before they move on.
Mm-hmm. But they do usually move on?
Yes, they do.
Okay. So how is a student accepted into the program? What are, you mentioned those demographics, but academically, what kind of bar do they have to be above to become a McNair Scholar?
We like to say that a student needs a 2.8 GPA.
Okay.
But as we sit down and have conversations with prospective scholars and get to know them, a GPA can sometimes not tell the whole story. As we are dealing with scholars who have come through educationally the pandemic, that took a toll on a lot of students. It you know, changed our lives for all of us. So that is one metric that we look at. Other metrics that we consider, each scholar has to have two letters of recommendation. And we look at those letters of recommendation from faculty and staff. And if a student, for example, doesn't necessarily have that GPA or above, again, that's just one metric that we look at.
How many McNair Scholars are there on the campus?
Our last cohort, the 2023 cohort, we had 13 scholars. Right now, we have that we are considering, we have 9 scholars that we have sent letters of acceptance to.
So they come in as cohorts?
They come in as cohorts.
Okay. And so then, I guess, do they interact with each other when they're on campus?
They do. We look to serve between 13 and 15 scholars in our cohort, as well as supporting students from the previous cohort. Once they are done with the program, if they're still on campus, we still provide support to them as far as if they have a conference that they want to attend and present their research. If we have the funding available, we can provide for their registration fee, help defray the cost of transportation and their accommodations.
I'm a parent driving around in my car hearing this, or a student who's in high school or maybe in college. How would I get more information about the McNair Scholars Program, or how do you get the information out about the program? Do you recruit?
We do recruit. We start recruiting in September. And we have an open house in October, which we publicize throughout the campus. We send emails to our McNair allies here on campus, professors who have served as mentors previously, as well as professors who may be interested in serving as mentors. I think earlier you asked, how do we get prospective scholars on our radar? Many students will drop by our office and say, hey, I've heard about McNair. I'm not sure whether I would meet the criteria. We sit down and we talk to them, help them determine whether they would be eligible. We also rely on faculty and staff to recommend students to us. That's a big pipeline that we cultivate and appreciate that support, again, from our McNair allies across the campus.
So a student could be already on campus and become a McNair scholar. Are students coming out of high school going onto the campus, are they qualified to become a McNair scholar? Do they have to have that 2.8 in their college studies?
They have to have a 2.8, but again, that's something that's not hard and fast. It's a metric, but again, it is something that we can work with. They need to have at least 60 credit hours. So most of our scholars embark upon their McNair journey between their sophomore and junior year and their junior and senior year.
Okay, very good. So I know you've got something coming up next week. Tell us about what's happening on the 20th.
In conjunction with the academic open houses that are happening here at UWO, as well as our other campuses, we are hosting an open house that's going to be held next week, February 20th. It's going to be in the Halsey Science Building in our McNair Conference Room, located in room 121. So we would encourage any interested students, usually to kind of entice our students to come. We know young folk like to eat. So we do try to have some snacks available, chips, pop, water, just to create that welcoming environment. We encourage you to stop by and learn more about our McNair Scholars Program. It really is a wonderful opportunity for students.
This is the Black History Month Spotlight. Our guest today is Dr. Belinda Pinkston, who is Program Coordinator of the McNair Scholars Program here at UWO. And we've been talking about the scholars program and its benefit to students on campus. And it was started by the late Ronald McNair's brother. And is he still alive? And if so, what's his involvement in the program?
Yes, Mr. McNair is still alive, very much so. He is very active in the program across the country. Just last January, Ms. Bolus and I had an opportunity to attend a McNair conference for staff in my home city of Orlando, Florida, and Mr. McNair was there. He's very passionate about this program, very hands-on. He goes across the country and, again, not only speaks to McNair staff, but he is very involved in supporting and working with our McNair scholars.
There have to be a lot of McNair scholars at this point around the country. Is there a big alumni base, I guess, of this program?
There are. And again, it's that networking because, as I said, once a McNair scholar, always a McNair scholar. And as is incumbent upon many of us, they feel very passionate about reaching back and helping those who are coming along the journey that they've already been. So they are ambassadors for the program, just as we tell our current scholars that they are ambassadors. When they work with a mentor and it's a positive experience, they are disciplined, they are focused, they are determined. That enables a mentor to say, you know, I might be inclined to take on another McNair scholar because I had such a good experience with this scholar. So they are ambassadors for the program, whether here on campus at UWO, whether they are presenting at a conference here in Wisconsin or outside of the state. So they carry the mantle on of being a McNair scholar and representing the McNair scholar here at the university as well as the university itself.
So I mentioned that you are the program coordinator on campus for the McNair Scholars Program, but how did you get here? Let's talk about this native Floridian. Who was little Belinda, and how did you get to Oshkosh?
Well, little Belinda never saw herself leaving the state of Florida except going out on vacation. I retired from the Florida education system with 33 years. I wasn't quite ready for the rocking chair yet. I was made aware of an opportunity to apply for the position of executive director for human resources for the Oshkosh Area School District. I applied for that position and I was hired. I served in that capacity for 4 years, learned a great deal.
How do we get someone from Florida to come to the cold winters of Wisconsin?
Well, that's an interesting question, Dr. Ray. Usually folk will go from the north and retire south. Yeah. I did it the other way. Yeah. I saw it as an adventure. I'd lived in Florida my whole life. Again, I had taken vacations, but I was at a point in my life where, again, I wasn't quite ready for the rocking chair. I still felt that I had a lot to give back. I feel very passionately about that. I can never repay all of those who helped me along my journey, but what I can do is to reach back and help those behind me. We know that representation matters. I was the first administrator of color to serve with the Oshkosh Area School District. I'm very proud of that fact. I had been ABD. I completed all of my doctoral coursework, did not complete my dissertation. I'd been an academic my whole life. I met my husband late in life and I said, oh, this is what it's like to have a life and date and have fun. And so that was kind of unfinished business. So when I came here, my superintendent said, once she found out that I had not completed my degree, she said, well, you need to do that. And I said, why do I need to do that? I've already retired once. Yeah. Pretty soon I won't even have a wall to hang a degree on. And she said, the degree is not for you. It's for the students in the Oshkosh area school district who will see you and see someone who looks like them and know that you are Dr. Pinkston. Mm. So again, I had a great 4 years with the school district, learned a lot personally and professionally. I stepped away from my responsibilities because all of my family, including my husband, is in Florida. And as my mother and my father-in-law were getting on in years, when I need to get on a plane and go to Florida, I need to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. So getting a position here at the university afforded me the flexibility to be able to do that. I initially took a position as a lecturer in the College of Education and Human Services, where I teach. I had that position before I applied for the position of program coordinator for McNair. So that's how I got to the university. I subsequently completed my degree here at UWO, so I'm a proud UWO alum. And again, that representation matters. Many of my students that I teach have shared that I'm the first instructor of color that they've ever had, K-12 as well as here at the university. So again, I'm very proud of that fact. Representation matters. I'm proud and honored to be a staff member here at UWO, and the colleagues and the collaborations that I have fostered here on campus are very important to me personally as well as professionally, because as I meet staff here at UWO, I'm able to help our scholars connect with them to serve, you know, as if not official mentors as a part of the program, mentors to help guide them along their academic journey.
Well, and we're fortunate to have you here. And thank you so much for coming by. It's been enlightening. And I hope people gain some information about McNair Scholars Program that they didn't know. And if there's someone who's just still curious and is not on campus, is there a phone number or office number? How could they reach out to you? Or someone in the office?
On the university website, we have a McNair Scholar website where they can go and get information on the program, or they are more than welcome to reach out either to myself or Ms. Bolas.
Okay. Well, Dr. Pinkston, thanks again for coming by and talking to us. It's good meeting you and good having you on the Black History Month Spotlight.
Thank you so much for the invite, Dr. Ray. I've enjoyed it immensely.
You've been listening to the Black History Month Spotlight, which is a production of 90.3 WRST FM in cooperation with the African American Studies Program at the University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh. Tune in next week at 5 for our next episode of Black History Month Spotlight, when leaders of several student organizations on campus join us. I'm Wendell Ray. Thanks for listening and have a great week.